broadcast over any FM car radio.
Hey, good looking. We'll be back to pick you up later.
Throw away your bulky transmitters and broadcasting towers. The Superstar Celebrity Microphone lets you hear your voice through any AM radio.
Hey, good looking. We'll be back to pick you up later.
He's in for some loving.
Hello, this is Matthew Tombers, and you're listening to WGXE, Acre, Catskill, Hudson.
WGXE welcomes audio responses and feedback from listeners. Anyone can call and leave a message, and we'll play it on the air. Call area code 518-622-2598 and leave up to a 3-minute message for airplay. That number again is 518-622-2598.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by Upstate Films, a nonprofit theater connecting the Hudson Valley through transformative cinematic experiences in both Rhinebeck and Saugerties. This month, playing Jane Austen Wrecked My Life, The Phoenician Scheme, Materialists, and Sister Midnight, and a lineup of special programming from Upstate Films Art House and Revival House series. Information about screenings and special guests at upstatefilms.org.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Jim McCabe of Hudson, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda. I'm Amanda.
I'm Jenny.
And we are a twice a month movie talk show here on WGXC Acre. Every second and fourth Tuesday of the month from 7 to 8 p.m. we pick a theme each time, and then we watch movies around that theme separately, and then we get on the airwaves to talk about them. And we have a lot of fun, and we hope you have a lot of fun listening.
It's so fun to be here. It's also the WGXC pledge drive right now.
Oh my!
For those of you listening, for those of you who love WGXC, which I assume if you're listening, you love WGXC. Otherwise, what are you doing here?
I know. I mean, if you somehow just stumbled upon us, I'm so glad you did. Hi, welcome.
Welcome.
Please add this to your speed dial list on your car.
Is yep.
That, yeah.
Well,
your radio station speed
yep,
dial.
That's the one.
WGXC is an absolutely incredible local radio station, independently funded, so that you won't be hearing ads
yep.
like you hear on other radio
totally.
Stations owned by corporations
exactly.
that need a lot of money from non-local ads.
Yeah.
But yeah, so because it is an independent grant-funded radio station, you're going to get to hear a lot of stuff that you won't be able to hear on a lot of radio stations now. It's a little bit more like how radio used to be, mm-hmm. where it really is a connection between you as a listener and your community. And yeah, like anybody can have a show, which is really, really huge. There's kids on here who have programmers
yes.
who are children. There's older folks, there's political shows, there's opinion shows, there's amazing music shows. It's got everything. And I think we want to do everything we can to hold on to stations like WGXC.
Yes, absolutely. It's such a rare thing to have a space like this where anyone can come in and say what they have to say, as long as, you know, it's FCC compliant.
Yeah.
Anyone can call into the radio station and leave a message, and your
yeah.
message will be played on the air. It really truly feels like one of the last places on earth where truly every voice is heard, and it's so valuable to have as a community resource.
Absolutely, absolutely indispensable. And when we think, okay, so we're a movie talk show, and Jenny and I, just like most movie lovers, especially movie lovers, millennial and older, really miss the experience of going into a movie store. In fact, we miss most of the experience of being alive in the 90s. and yeah, like there feels to me a connection between the two. Like the only way to keep these things around that we love, that remind us of better and simpler times, the only way to make sure that those things stay around is by supporting them with your money. Absolutely. So if there was a video store, I would hope that we would be going and spending our money there. There's not, but there is a local radio station.
It's so important.
And you can give them money.
You can give them money. I do. I just love, there's something so incredible about living in a place where I can tune in on my radio that's free inside of my car and hear the voices of my friends and neighbors just talking about local news, talking about whatever the heck they want. Like I love, there's a book show where a librarian talks about books with some kids who are members of the library. There are like incredible news, shows on WGXC. It also, we simulcast Democracy Now, which is pretty cool.
It's so good.
It's just a really, it's a really unique and special place. And you know, I feel so lucky when I tune in on my car radio and I hear something really cool and interesting, and it's just like genuinely really special. And both of us are sustaining supporters because not obviously we like to be on the radio, but we genuinely believe in the mission of WGXC. And if you do too, I would strongly urge you to head on over to WGXC.org/donate.
Yes, exactly. We would love for this pledge drive specifically, we have a monetary goal. And the idea is that, okay, yes, we really want you to be a sustaining supporter. Please, you're not going to miss $5 a month.
Yeah, it's easy.
That's
barely a coffee these days.
I know.
Sometimes coffee is like $7 around here.
But also, if you feel like you can make even a chunkier donation just once this month, and then if you can tell your friends to do the same, and you can tell them to tell their friends, maybe it's just $20 or $15. I don't know. Something that feels doable for you. But if you make a donation and then you encourage three people that you love who you think would be interested, ask them and ask them to spread it forward as well.
Yeah.
So we're hoping to get this outward ripple effect going of donations, but also you should be a sustaining supporter.
Yeah.
I know there's, what is it? Like some of the afternoon shows that are mostly interviews with local people. I hear about some of the most fascinating projects that are going on in our area that I wouldn't know about.
Yeah.
Like a lot of, environmental projects, like with local ecosystems.
Absolutely.
Like our wonderful friend Devin is often on the afternoon shows because he works for Cornell Cooperative Extension.
I know. I also always want to call it Columbia for some reason.
He works for Cornell Cooperative Extension, so he's involved in a lot of really amazing projects to do with land use and land conservation. And I tune in and where I hear the owners of the Highway Drive-In talk about events that they have coming up.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just the best. We're so happy to be programmers on here and to have been programmers for so long.
It's true.
It feels very special.
It feels so special. It is also like, it's a really tough time financially for a lot of people on this earth. It is also a really tough time for arts organizations to get funding. So
yes.
WGXC really, really needs help from the community, which is like, you know, they provide a lot for us. So as a member of the community, I want to give back.
Absolutely. Yes. WGXC and their parent organization, Wave Farm, were unfortunately did suffer the loss of an NEA grant.
Many
organizations. So actually your donation always matters, even aside from that, but it especially matters right now. So if you could head on over, like Jenny said, to wgxc.org/donate and just drop a penny or two in the bucket,
just
would be great.
Couple pennies.
And I wanted to mention too, this is information that I always forget to share, but as Jenny mentioned, there's a line you can call.
Oh, yeah.
You can call directly into the station, or there's also a feedback voicemail line. So you're not going to have to talk to a person, but you can leave a voicemail to leave feedback about the station, positive or negative. That feedback line is 518-622-2598 extension 4. So you can call that main number too, and I'm sure they'll list the other extensions options. You can go to, yeah. Like calling into the radio station.
This place is great. I want it to stick around forever.
I do too.
That's what I want.
I really don't. Things are changing a lot, and I don't want this to change.
Yeah, this is a really, really special thing about living here, and I love that.
It is, yeah, and especially, you know, if you're new here or perhaps you're just visiting, I'm really excited for you that you're tuned in right now, because this is a really magical, special part of this area. I mean, whenever I drive around anywhere, catching the local stations, like the local college radio, it's so fun.
It's the best.
And it's a way to get a real idea of what it's like to live in the area that you're visiting. So, anyway,
thanks for listening. That's what we have to say about that.
Yeah,
we'll talk about it more later too.
We'll be saying more later.
We'll continue.
But as we always do at the top of our show, we are now going to tell you about what's playing in the theaters in our area. Jenny, you want to kick it off?
I'd love to start. Let me tell you about what's playing at the Highway Drive-In, the aforementioned drive-in. Yes. It's a 4-screen drive-in theater, for those of you who don't know, and each screen plays a double feature. On screen one, we have F1 and Materialists. Pretty exciting. On screen two, we have How to Train Your Dragon and Megan 2.0. Mithrigan 2.0. On screen three, we have 28 Years Later and Dangerous Animals.
Mm. Oh, I really want to see that.
Oh, I don't even know what it is.
We'll talk about it after we list amazing. The rest of the movies. Okay. I'm really excited to tell you about it.
On screen four, we have Elio and Lilo and Stitch. And if you're interested in more information about what's playing, you can go to highwaydriveinny.com. That's HIWAY driveinny.com.
Oh, amazing. I can't wait to tell you about Dangerous Animals.
Well, I'm thrilled.
All right. I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Wyndham Theater in lovely Wyndham, New York, up the mountain. We have Elio, How to Train Your Dragon, and Lilo and Stitch. You can find out more by going to WyndhamTheater.com. That's WIndhamTheater.com.
All right, and now I'm going to tell you about what's playing at TSL, otherwise known as Time and Space Limited in Hudson. This weekend, we have Shall We Dance, A Photographic Memory, Dogtooth, Friendship, and Love. They're also doing National Theater Live, A Streetcar Named Desire, and Stage Russia HD, Everyone Is Here. I don't know what that means, but sounds pretty cool. If you're interested in any of those showtimes or any more information about what's happening at TSL, you can find out more information at timeandspace.org.
Amazing. All right. I'm going to tell you about what's playing at Story Screen Cinema in Hudson, New York on Fairview Avenue. We have 28 Years Later, The Life of Chuck, Materialists, Elio, and as well, of course, as some excellent repertory screenings, we have Party Monster on Thursday, June 26th. We have Supergirl on Saturday, June 28th. On June 30th, we have My Own Private Idaho. And on July 7th, we have Do the Right Thing, because it's hot out.
Yes, it really is.
All right. And you can find out more by going to storyscreenpresents.com.
All right, now I'm going to tell you about what's playing at Upstate Films, starting with the Star Cinema, which is the location in Rhinebeck. We have The Godfather, The Phoenician Scheme, Ran, Sister Midnight, The Life of Chuck, and Taken Hostage, close up with director Robert Stone. And then heading across the river to the Orpheum Theater in Saugerties, we have The Phoenician Scheme, Jane Austen Wrecked My Life, Friendship, Materialists, The Life of Chuck, Funny Games, Ike and Tina Turner On the Road 1971-72, Close Up with director Bob Gruen, F1, Nothing Can Hurt Me, Close Up with directors Drew Nicola and Olivia Mori, and The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original. Huge news. If you're interested in those movies or their showtimes, you can find out more information at upstatefilms.org. It's Wednesday, July 2nd at 8 p.m. That's Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Okay.
You working?
Yes.
Darn.
Always.
I knew the answer as soon as I asked.
Dang it.
I had to ask just in case.
You should go. And we'll talk about this later.
We'll talk about this later.
It's Spotlight Theater in Hudson, New York, also on Fairview Avenue, the 8 screen theater. We have Bride Hard.
Totally.
Life of Chuck. The Secret World of Arrietty. 28 Years Later. Elio. How to Train Your Dragon. Materialists. The Phoenician Scheme. Lilo and Stitch. Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning. Still hanging
still
on.
Still it there, yeah.
F1. Mithrigan 2. And Brokeback Mountain.
Yes, it's the 20th anniversary.
Oh, mm. Ouch, ouch. Mm-hmm.
Ouch, 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 ouch,
ouch, ouch, ouch, ouch, ouch, ouch, ouch. Stop. Okay, if you want to find out more about those show times and ticketing, you can go to spotlighttheater.com and select the Hudson location from the drop-down menu.
Incredible.
Okay.
Please tell me what Dangerous Animals is.
Listen, Jenny, you know how much we like Wolf Creek.
Yeah, we do.
All right. This is another Australian serial killer movie.
I should have known.
But this guy takes ladies on his boat and then he feeds them to sharks.
No!
It's a shark cage horror movie.
We gotta go see
it. I'm so excited.
Perfect drive-in movie.
I know.
Literally perfect drive-in movie. Incredible.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Huge
we're gonna,
news.
We're going to figure this out.
We'll continue this off air. We'll continue this off air.
And then, wait. Oh, yeah. For those of you out there, I just want to say that seeing Texas Chainsaw Massacre in the theater is an excellent experience.
Yes, I agree.
It's an FCC compliant way of saying that.
Yeah. It's so true. The first and second time I saw it were both in a theater, and I felt very lucky.
It's really, it's yeah, really
I've seen
special.
It two times.
It's probably the best slasher horror movie of all time.
Yeah, I think that's probably correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And summertime is the perfect time to see it. It's an amazing summer slasher.
Nasty summy slasher.
I'm just craving slasher movies lately, so...
Incredible. Well, should we turn our attention to the theme for this week?
Yeah.
Which, it's June, Pride Month.
Yes.
Everyone knows this.
Yes.
We decided to go down
To celebrate.
An extremely fruitful path.
Yeah.
Queer thrillers.
Oh my God, there's not enough time.
There's not enough time, and there's like 1,000 of them. It's so cool.
It's so cool. why do they have all the good ones? I'm just gonna
we because it's great.
I know there's so many.
I was thinking about this earlier today while we were at work together in the same room. I was thinking about how it is. I mean, this is such a thing that people have probably said a million times, but sometimes we come to our own conclusion later. Like, it is really fascinating how many queer movies in general are thrillers or horror movies.
Yes.
Because, I mean, I think those genres are such fruitful, soil for experimentation and, moving outside of normalized life and, depicting things that are not... part of the main culture.
Yeah, exploring things that especially in more restrictive times culturally, exploring things that are quote unquote taboo.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And also why for so long and still to some extent horror as an example gets the rap of being trashy or even why now you get people saying something is an elevated horror movie.
Yeah.
We're not a fan of that term here. It's so dumb.
Stupid.
But because the societal discomfort with exploring those things.
Yeah.
And so being no, that's trash because it's it's, you know,
it's nasty.
It's not nice.
Exactly.
It's not for the dinner table.
True. Yeah. So true.
They, you know, yes, there are, so many good queer thrillers and horror movies, which we, you know, our focus was slightly different for this episode.
Both kind of specific genre exercises.
Yeah, they share a margin.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to hear what you watch. Should we talk about the movie that we both watched?
Yeah, let's do that.
So a movie that Jenny had already seen before, but it was a huge hole for me that I have been waiting to watch for a long time. Not waiting for anything in particular, just the right moment, and then it came, is the Wachowski sisters, Bound.
Ugh. Yes. I haven't seen it in
1996.
That feels
98, maybe.
I was like, that feels right.
Hold on. I pulled it up.
96. You were right. You knew. You knew. Don't doubt yourself. Yeah.
This movie is starring Gina Gershon and Jennifer Tilly and Joey Pants. What's his actual name?
Pantaleone.
Yeah. Calls him Joey Pants.
And then I was like, is it Pantaleano?
Yeah. Yeah.
Pantaleones.
Yeah. Pantalones.
Pantalones.
yes. And it tells the story of Jennifer Tilly's Violet, who is the girlfriend of violent mob criminal Joey Pants Caesar, who one day sees the very, very, very sexy butch Gina Gershon's Corky in the Corky.
Wow, really good.
Thank you. So Violet sees Corky in the elevator of their building because Corky just, the next apartment over is, who's recently out of prison, has been hired to do some maintenance and repairs to the empty apartment next to Violet and Caesar's apartment. They meet eyes, the sparks fly immediately. They start hooking up in secret.
Yep. Real fast.
Real fast. And Violet's like, listen, there's going to be a money exchange going down at my apartment with Caesar. I want out of this life. Yeah. I can't leave. He's very scary and violent. She's wrapped up
she's
in
like,
this.
I've had enough. I got to get out of here.
I got to get out of here. The only way I think we can do it is if we steal the money. And Corky, who is understandably hesitant, mm-hmm. having been just gotten out of prison, but also Violet is, I mean, also as an audience member, you're a little hesitant too.
She's a bit of a femme fatale.
Yeah, you are, the audience is a little more perspective-wise aligned with Corky, mm-hmm. where yeah. you're like, is Violet like using her there's the foley of me taking off my Tevas.
The squeaky sound. We just went swimming because it's really hot out, as everyone knows, and the squeaky sound of the wet Tevas coming off is like, I couldn't ignore it. I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. I should have done it next to the microphone. But so Corky is a little Corky and Violet do clearly have a very powerful connection. Mm-hmm. It's not one way, and so Corky does want to do this, but is understandably hesitant. Caesar is gross and scary, yeah. and this is the mob. It's not just some rich guy, so you're not just robbing one dude.
Yep. The walls are very thin between their apartments, which is like a pretty fun device
yeah.
that they use.
It's really fun.
But because of that, Corky has heard a mob torture go down. And so she's I don't know that I want to get involved in this. Actually sounds really bad
yeah.
over there.
Yeah, it's really scary. Oh my God, what's his face from SVU?
Christopher Maloney.
Yeah, Christopher Maloney's in it as the son of the mob boss, who's just a little POS.
Yeah, incredible. He's wearing like an incredible suit yeah. for a lot of the movie. This like incredible like wine red, like shiny suit. Is it red? I'm like, is it red?
Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah. But he's like a little brat.
He is.
He's like the prince.
Yes,
you know, he's the mob
so
prince.
Good.
So
yeah.
he's a little brat. But so, yeah, it's I guess ultimately kind of a heist movie,
yeah.
but like, oh, the tension.
It's so fun. It's
such a well executed movie because yeah. it's, yeah, like, I don't know. Is it called a heist if it's just like a smaller robbery, whatever. It's yeah. kind of like a heist movie, but, yeah, it is just it's so perfectly paced.
Yeah.
It rolls out so wonderfully. You're guessing for most of the movie, like I mentioned, if Corky isn't getting played, mm-hmm. you know, like,
yeah.
or like I was wondering yeah. for, I wanted to believe, but
totally.
Like I was,
you're like, is this going to go well for them?
Yeah.
I don't know, because that's when they decide to finally go through with it. Corky explains that the reason she ended up in jail was not because she's bad at crime. It's because the girl who she was working with before screwed her over.
Yes.
And so she's like, I made the mistake of trusting her.
Yeah.
Can I trust you?
Yeah.
And Violet's like, yes, you can trust me. Can I trust you? But it's like, you just don't know. I mean, that's part of the leap.
Yeah.
It's like, are we doing this? Do you want to be with me? And also, can I trust you?
So, yeah, right? Like, just all beginnings of relationships.
Yeah, kind of
not
beautiful.
Romantic and crime partnership.
And
both. It's, yeah, it's a beautiful moment in all of those high stakes relationships.
Yeah.
Being like, are we going to do this for real? Are we for real?
Are we for real? Are we for real right now? But it's such a well executed movie. Like you said, like, the pacing is so tight, and like, we're thrown into their relationship so fast. Like, the sparks between Corky and Violet become like erotic super fast. They like immediately become connected, and then from there we are also immediately thrown into this crime that they decide to undertake. Like, it feels so propulsive.
Yeah,
there's no moment where you're just like, okay, what's happening now? It's just like, it's constantly moving and has that like that fun thriller energy where you are just like on the edge of your seat. Even though I'd seen it before, I still was like so enwrapped, you know, like totally enjoying
it. It's like such a lean movie. You know what I mean? Like, there's like no extra details or scenes where I'm like, I'm kind of bored or I don't need this.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's so,
everything feels really purposeful.
Yeah, like you said, Violet is a bit of a femme fatale, so we're worried about that, or I was worried.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so Corky, as she said, she's very good at her job, which is being a thief. And she comes up with a fantastic plan. And then, of course, like all fun movies with a plan, something goes awry.
Yep.
I mean, I guess we can just spoil it.
Yeah.
Which I'm already having, because it's hot out, I'm already having trouble with how. Okay, so the guy that Corky overheard them torturing and murdering in the apartment had been skimming off the top from the mob, and he has $2 million of the mob's money. They kill him, but not until they torture him into telling them where the money is. Violet had a friendship with this guy too, and also knows about this money. And she knows as well that now that the mob has it back, they're taking it to her and Caesar's apartment, and it's going to be there for a couple hours before the big boss comes to get it. And in those couple hours, they're going to take it.
Yeah. They're going to make it disappear and basically make it seem like the mob boss's son has taken it or Caesar has taken it, and basically have them both pointing at each other instead of looking at either of them.
Exactly. Cause they can't just cut and run with it because they'll never be able to run far enough.
Yeah.
So they have to be able to get the money and a clean break from the mob. There needs to be this like neat tie-in, which of me watching, I'm like, brilliant.
What a good idea. She really is good at this.
But of course our X factor here is Caesar, who doesn't act accordingly as we hoped and absolutely freaks out and murders the big boss and the boss's son
and then some random other guy
yeah. And it becomes a showdown between Violet and Caesar and Corky.
Yeah. That's, it's so fun. There's so many fun little details in that movie. Like, it's even from the beginning, like the camera moves in really interesting ways.
I was going to bring up,
which is so
the
sick.
Opening scene. So it plays with, like the timing or, chronology.
Yeah.
It plays with it a little bit. So the very first scene we see is Corky tied up, bound, shall we say, in the closet, in the clothing closet. But the scene opens with the camera coming down the ball chain that's attached to the light.
It's
in
so
the
crazy.
Closet. So the very first thing you see in this movie, you're like, what am I looking at? Is that beads?
Yeah. What? Hey, what's that?
Is that adult beads?
And then you swing down and see Corky on the ground.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, and that is part of the tension, is you're like, okay, how did she get there? Like, we know that she, like, then we go into her meeting Violet. We back up in time.
Yeah.
You're like, what goes wrong? You know that something goes wrong, but you're not sure what it is. So you spend the movie being like, how does Corky get in that closet?
Which is kind of a trope that I'll never get tired of if it's done well. Like,
same.
If sometimes you're showing me something that I'm actually not that interested in, and I'm not saying how did we get here? But with this movie, Great job.
I'm loving it.
Job well done. Yeah. So there's a lot of the Wachowski sisters movies that I haven't seen. Is their filmography all that?
It's pretty short. I mean, they haven't made that many movies. Because after the Matrix take a lot of time.
Yeah, the Matrices.
The Matrices. God, you're so right. Oh my God.
I took that.
That was humiliating. The Matrices. Yeah.
So the Matrix is after this, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. This was like, I don't know if this is like an anachronistic take, but I like read somewhere once that Bound was part of their like, almost their audition to get The Matrix because they wanted to direct it, but they hadn't shown their chops yet. Like they worked in like comics first before they started making movies.
That makes sense.
And so they made Bound to be like, look at what we can do. Look at what you can do. This is crazy.
It's
incredible.
Bound
first
is
movie.
So fun. Yeah. And obviously The Matrix is The Matrix. Mm-hmm. Nothing else needs to be said. It's a perfect movie. It's so, so fun. And it changed everyone's life forever. Mm-hmm. But Bound is definitely more aligned with my interests, mm-hmm. movie wise. And so it left me like wishing they would make more movies like that. I was thinking about it connected to The Matrix because of that weird pull chain shot. Because there's lots of like going through tubes in The Matrix, like going through the speaker and the phone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lots of like going through hardware and appliances. Yeah.
I do also feel like most of the other movies they've made are like really huge budget, like massive spectacles.
Yeah.
Which like is really cool. I've still never seen Speed Racer, which everyone tells me is incredible.
Oh my God, I cannot. I've been thinking about screening it for my birthday.
Oh my God, you should, because I want to see it in the theater. That's part of why I haven't watched it.
Okay, we'll also talk about this. But so it stays FCC compliant.
Exactly. I feel like this is kind of the lowest budget they ever go, really, other than the TV show Sensei, which is like a totally different like animal. Like it's not a movie, so it's like it's just not the
same
thing.
We don't talk about TV shows.
We don't talk about TV shows here, unless it's like really special. We like want to talk about it.
I mean, it's our show, so we can technically talk about whatever we want.
That's the power of community radio, by the way.
I've never seen Sensei, but yeah, I like you're saying. Their other movies since The Matrix are big money, big spectacle, mm-hmm. lots of special effects.
Yeah.
Including Speed Racer. Speed Racer is like, there's nothing real in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Except for the actors. Yeah. Everything else is definitely
it's all fake.
It's all special effects.
Yeah, which is cool. Like, cool when it's something like that. But it is, I want to see them make a movie again that's like small scale. Like, Bound is so cool because it takes place in like one building. Like they're just in these two apartment rooms or apartment buildings, and that's it.
It's like primarily there's a very, very little outside of the building.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's so pared down. Like there's like eight actors in it. It's all so like tight and tidy.
Yeah.
And I think they're so good at the big spectacle, of course. Yeah. Like those movies are incredible also. But I would love to see. I love when directors are like, let's make a little one again.
I know. Like, I kind of want to see a little one. Like that focus. Yeah. You know, and not that the stories, because obviously they've always been writers too.
Totally.
So their stories have focus.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
They're not meandering. But like, yeah, seeing something that's a little more pared down, because it still has, Bound still is still incredibly stylish.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, I want to see another like nice tight little story
that
maybe takes place in my world
instead
of the fuge.
It could be the fuge too, but like, you know, like give me like a Minority Report. Like they would be so good at like a Minority Report.
Yes.
I always forget if they're retired or not though, so I'm like, are you gonna come back out and like make us a little movie? Just wondering if anybody has a line on them.
I mean, can you imagine what it must have felt like to make something like The Matrix that like was such a cultural sensation?
Yeah, it's crazy.
I can only imagine. And then so early in your career. Mm-hmm. So like the way that it changes your life too. Like I wouldn't blame them at all for being like, I'm going to learn how to grow roses.
Right. And I'm going to whittle for the rest of my life. Thanks. I'm fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, Bound absolutely rules. I'm so glad you liked it and watched it.
I mean, I knew you would, but you know. Literally not like one modicum of it not to like.
It's so good. It's so good.
Yes. Should we talk a little bit about the radio station?
Yeah, then? just like a little bit, just like a taste as a treat.
So you're listening to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda here on WGXC Acra Catskill Hudson 90.7 FM, which is our absolutely incredible local radio station. And right now you're tuning in the middle of a pledge drive, which is where we get to legally on the air ask for money and tell you what to do.
One of the cool things about the radio is that we're not allowed to tell you what to do any other time.
Any other time.
Ever. We can't tell you what to do because that's not okay.
Not until after 10 p.m.
Then we can maybe, can we after 10 p.m. still?
Well,
can you do calls to action?
Maybe not.
I kind of feel like you never can.
I don't think you ever can. I think you're right. We can cuss. We can throw around swear words after 10 p.m.
But that's it. But it's like, it is, I feel like that's really emblematic of what WGXC is doing, where it's like, it's going to give you lots of information about lots of different things. And then from there, you form your own opinion.
Yes.
And I think that's very cool.
Oh, God. And it's so valuable.
Extremely cool.
It's extremely cool. Maybe even not having something that's like not a visual media as well is allows you even further to form your own opinion.
Yeah, it's pretty thrilling.
And yes, like it's a long, long, forever fight to keep community independent radio alive. And it requires all of us to do that. I know that maybe it feels like an unimportant thing to send your money to, or it might feel like you don't want to be bothered with sparing that money, or can't, and that's totally understandable. But again, that's the only thing that we can put behind independent radio to keep it around.
Totally.
And I think that you would really miss it if it was gone. So, please head to wgxc.org/donate and become a sustaining supporter, or just make a one-time donation.
Yeah. I think it's really important to, if you can, put a little bit of cash behind the things that you believe in. And if you live here and you are a part of this community, I think it's really important to engage with it. And WGXC is like a really incredible way to engage with it.
Yeah.
If you have ever listened to our show and you liked it, throw like a couple bucks at WGXE, like for us. Do it for us.
Just
even if you don't care about the community, you should care about the community. Exactly. But if for some reason you don't.
Yeah, that would be crazy. But even if you're just enjoying your time listening to us talk about Bound and whatever queer thrillers we're going to talk about next.
Yeah.
If you want to hear us talk about what we're going to say, if you want to hear what we're going to say next.
I won't say it until you donate.
Exactly. Guess what? We're freezing the show until you donate $100. We're holding our own show hostage.
It's time.
But no, that's, you put it really well, Jenny. Like, unfortunately, this world does run on money. That is the system that we're trapped in. And so the way that you vote for anything really is with your money.
Yeah.
The way that you show support for anything is with your money.
Yeah, totally.
You know, like where you choose to spend or not spend your money actually really, really matters.
Yeah.
As we all know, like boycotting does work.
Mm-hmm.
And then also supporting the things that you want to see thrive with monetary donations.
It's really incredible. I do also like, there's something really great about WGXC also feels like every dollar is really felt here.
Yes.
Like it's such a small operation running on absolute like fumes and the power of a handful of people.
Exactly.
We're like holding it together.
Your money is not disappearing into like somebody's paycheck who we never meet. That's not happening.
No.
It's getting us this new mixer that we're using tonight, which is really wonderful to use.
Yeah, it's at least in my headphones, it sounds really good.
It sounds so nice.
If you'll remember our last show, it sounded a little clicky and weird, and that's because we needed a new mixer.
The rent in this building, like this. Yeah, and we get to sit here in this sunny window on Main Street in Catskill broadcasting live while we watch people walk by and drive by and we get to wave. Yeah. It's so...
It's really special. This is like truly an incredible way to spend some money in your community.
Yeah.
And like really, really make an actual tangible difference.
Yeah.
It's really special. It's also like, where else are you going to tune in and hear a couple of folks talking about queer movies?
Queer movies.
You know, I mean, I'm saying that as a joke, but also in reality, like we are living in like a time of culture, like a cultural backlash against queer people, trans people, yes. like people of color, yes. immigrants. Like it's yes. really scary out there. And it's really nice that this is a place where like we can come on and talk about whatever we want. There's like no political agenda.
No.
And it feels so important to really safeguard this.
Yes. Like exactly. Holding close and supporting and keeping safe anything that is not under any kind of corporate control that is at the whim of any current administrations. Yeah. That's really important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's huge. Huge.
We don't have a lot of those left.
We really don't.
Like there's really not a lot of things that are in the control of the people anymore. Yeah,
like and truly independent.
Yeah. And I know, again, it might seem silly to make this comparison, but it's actually really not.
Yeah.
This is where it all starts and ends.
It's really true. Like it never feels facetious to talk about it. Cause I'm like, I genuinely love WGXC and what it does for our community. I think it's so important.
Yeah.
It's so important.
It's so
Thus,
important.
You must go to WGXE.org/donate.
Yeah.
I just think you should do that. I just think you should do that.
I'm going to be so upset with you if you don't.
If you don't, you should stop listening right now because we're going to talk about the other movies we watched. And yeah. you, no, like, come on, man.
You know what? And like, literally everybody knows, like, podcasts aren't cool.
Yeah.
I listen to them. Jenny listens to them. You listen to them cool. too. But like, they're literally not cool.
Yeah.
Nobody's like, I love podcasts. Like everyone kind of keeps it under wraps.
Yeah.
You know, it is cool. Real radio yes. on real radio waves.
Real.
Honey,
raw
when
radio.
It all goes down, when everything gets unplugged, guess what's still there?
The radio waves.
Waves.
The radio
they're
waves.
Still there.
It's the only thing we've got.
Yeah, so you gotta head on over to WGXC.org/donate and become a sustaining supporter to keep us on the airwaves and keep us talking about movies.
Yeah, it's so nice to be here with you. Somebody just came by and took a picture of the sign because it's cool, because the radio is cool.
I know, and the person who took that photo also looked extremely
cool.
He
looked really cool. I was like, okay, I was be cool, Jenny, be cool.
I know. I was feeling a little distracted.
Yeah.
And I was, yeah. I'm,
They're wearing a backwards baseball hat and sunglasses.
My hair looks funny. It's like it's so puffy from swimming that it's going over the headphones.
It looks pretty cute, but yeah, totally.
I mean, I look relaxed because my Tevas are off, so exactly. I also look cool.
We look like we just came from swimming because that's what we did. Because it's the beautiful Hudson Valley, and here we are on our local radio station.
Yeah.
It's the way it should be.
We came from eating chicken fingers at the creek yeah. to going directly onto the airwaves.
And that's special. That's
I
really
know.
Good stuff.
I love my life. All right, Jenny, what did you watch?
I watched one other movie.
Yeah.
It's a movie from 1961 called Victim.
Ooh, that was on my list.
Yes.
I didn't watch it though.
Yeah, totally. That's okay. That's why I watched it.
Okay.
So that I'm like worried that these people are outside listening to us.
They might be. They might be listening. Are you listening?
Oh my god. Oh my god, hi. Hi.
Yes.
That's so cute.
Ah, I love the radio.
Yes, the radio was magic. It's so special. Oh my god.
Wow.
So let me tell you about Victim.
Okay, yes. Well, here we go.
It's a British movie from 1961. Oh my god, they're so cute. It is
let me look it up too.
Really cool. It's I watched it because it comes up when you Google queer thrillers.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'd also seen it on a list a while ago of like kind of landmark
yes.
movies. Oh my god, these people are so charming. I love them.
I know, I know. Are they going? Okay. All right.
Okay. Phew. All right. This is the power.
No, I was just going to say that they're going to Hemlock.
Yeah, that's what
it's
I thought.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, so fun.
Yeah,
so fun.
It's having a great day in Catskill. Thank you for bearing with me. I was like, this is going to be a complicated movie to talk about. It's also like sad.
We love to broadcast in the window here, but also Jenny and I get distracted so easily.
Well, there's people walking by.
I know, and I love it. It's why I love broadcasting from the window, but like special.
That's the radio.
We have to be in the window, but then also I'm gonna produce bad radio.
I know, I'm
because
sorry.
I'm in the window.
But maybe this is fun to listen to.
Maybe it is.
I hope so. So let me tell you about it's kind of like a tone shift. Oops, to the movie Victim. It is really good. It's a really good movie. It was really thrilling. It was tense. I saw a couple. Like I started reading the Wikipedia page because you know I love to do that after I watch a movie.
Of course.
And they described it as a noir, which I thought was interesting because it does kind of have a noir energy about it. But genuinely, I like felt on the edge of my seat while I was watching it. So, it's about a barrister in England named Melville Farr, who is contacted by this young working guy named Jack Barrett, who he previously had a relationship with. And I'm like, how do I even tell this story? Jack is being targeted by a blackmailer because there have been photographs taken of the two of them in a car together. And so this movie then follows, the opening scene is really incredible. It's Jack at work on like a scaffolding outside of a building, and he sees the cops roll up and he like runs down off the scaffolding. And then from there, we just see him try to evade the cops for the first like 15 minutes of this movie. Whoa. Who are following him. We don't really know why. All we know is that he's scared of them and he's running away. What we find out is that he has been skimming money off the top at work in order to pay these blackmailers who are trying to pin him and this barrister. And it's set in the 60s in England where being gay was a crime and you could be arrested and thrown in jail. And so it would really, really wreck your life if you got caught.
Yeah.
And Melville Farr, Mel, is like a really successful lawyer. So as soon as he gets a call from Jack, he just avoids him. He doesn't listen to him. He's like, he believes that Jack is going to blackmail him. So he kind of ignores it. Until he gets contacted by the police, who have found a scrapbook in Jack's possession of like a bunch of articles about Farr's work as a lawyer. And so he gets pulled into it against his will. No matter. It doesn't matter that he was trying to avoid it. Tragically, Jack kills himself while he's in prison, while he's being held, even though the cops, it's like this really interesting tone where there's like a good cop, bad cop. There's like a good cop who's like, really hates blackmailers and he's like, this is wrong. It doesn't matter that he's gay.
Like, I hate gays too, but I hate blackmailers more.
And then he doesn't hate gays. He's just like, yeah, he should be in jail, I guess. But like, we have to nail this other guy.
Yeah.
And then there's like the bad cop who is actually just homophobic.
Yeah.
And it's from there, Farr gets basically pulled in where like he decides that he has to investigate this and also try and figure out who the blackmailer is, both to clear his own name, but also because he regrets not helping Jack to begin with.
Yeah.
And so then it kind of proceeds. He proceeds to enlist another like young queer guy to give him information. And he starts going to like every gay man in the community, trying to find out what they know and if they're being blackmailed and like where they bring the money to to try and figure out who it is. And it's this like really tragic pattern where everyone he visits, they are being blackmailed. And then like they either die or are arrested or are beat up. Like something happens immediately after he goes to visit them.
Is there a serial killer?
It's not a serial killer. It's just like two lunatics who are blackmailing people in this town. It is like kind of the reveal at the end is kind of interesting because it's almost like, it feels like it's supposed to be a twist, but the person who is revealed, you're kind of like, I saw her once. She wasn't like a huge character.
Yeah.
So I won't say who it is because also I think it's interesting to watch it, but it's got this really incredible tone where supposedly it's the first English language movie to say the word homosexuality, which is crazy.
Oh, whoa.
1961.
Oh, wow.
Wild. And it feels like it has this really candid relationship to like queerness and specifically like gay men in this community. There are so many gay characters in it who are all really like humanized.
Yeah.
And like this movie is credited with like turning the tide on public opinion.
I mean, it's pretty
in England, which is really
early
fascinating
for a film. Yeah, like yeah. Like 61's pretty early to see. Yeah.
Totally. And like explicit too. Like nothing's coded. Like it's all extreme. Like everyone's extremely candid about
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Like this is a story about gay men. Yes. It's not, we're not like,
We're not doing like a little sneaky like
yeah
they're hanging out together and it's weird
yeah it's like they're awfully like, close
no, they're having sex with each other but it's so it has this like it's really it's just like really cool to watch a movie from that time that is like extremely candid about it
yeah.
And like the characters are so interesting. Like Farr, the main character, is played by a famous British actor named Dick Bogarde, who is also closeted and gay in real life, and so like was like hugely brave and deciding to take on this role that no one else wanted to do, of course,
yeah.
because it was literally illegal.
Yeah.
Ooh. And he it gives such an incredible nuanced performance. Like he has a wife who he has like a genuinely good relationship with, and they of course have to like confront each other through this movie as things start to come to light. And their conversations feel like very frank and like real to me.
Yeah.
In this way that like obviously dated to 1961, but in this way that doesn't feel like so many movies about gay men from before 2015
yeah.
Our friend and former coworker Scooter and I used to talk about how so many gay films are either tragic or trash.
Yes. And it's like yes. It's like got like gossipy like yes. My gay best friend trash
totally.
or it's
just like full tragedy, like you there's no like almost like melodrama to
yeah.
to a point where it feels so like both unrealistic and just like deeply painful and like not I don't know, like dehumanizing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's like I think often. Okay, so Brokeback Mountain is an absolutely beautiful movie, but of course, anyone who's seen it knows it is so painfully
yeah,
tragic.
Totally.
And like, it's I have a lot of conservative family members who like saw that movie and were like, "Oh, I didn't think ever
yeah.
until I saw this movie about how hard it is to be gay." So like that tragedy like serves a purpose for some, but after a while, especially like,
something else please.
Yeah, like especially queer people seeking out queer stories don't just want to see people die.
more is nice. Other options are nice, which is like a very cool thing about
yeah.
living in the future. But I also love to watch movies like this that feel so like such interesting historical documents. And like, I also just genuinely, I love a movie from the 60s. Like,
yeah.
And it felt so nice to watch a movie like this that had, I don't know. It was just like, so it felt so genuine to me. And like, not like, even though there are like, it is very sad. Like there are scenes that are very sad because like men are dying and
yeah.
it's like horrible and they're trapped in this world that is not kind to them.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like trauma like dumpy, like it felt very like purposeful and intentional, and like we're telling this really fascinating thrilling story.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah,
I love movies and about blackmail.
Yeah, and exciting and refreshing to yeah see the subject handled that way at the time that movie was made.
Yeah.
And yeah, thinking like you said about the people who made it being very very brave
yeah.
for making that story.
Yeah.
It's like exciting.
It's exciting. I really liked it. It also like it truly like moves at a clip, because sometimes older movies they're like they can, I love a lot of them, but just like modern movies there are some that are stinkers, and I'm like, this one was really fun. Like I felt locked in.
Yeah,
I was so excited.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Strong recommend for Victim.
I'm gonna really quick, because we don't have a ton of time, but I'm gonna tell you about the other movie that I watched, which maybe you've seen. I'm excited to find out if you have. 2013's French language movie Stranger by the Lake.
I almost watched it for this, because it's one that I've always wanted to see, but I haven't.
I should have just told you to watch it, because it's nice to talk. I want to talk about it with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, totally.
So I'm actually not going to say too much about it,
yeah.
because I don't want to give it away.
Yeah, and I do really want to see it.
And I also really want to talk about it with you, because there's a lot to there. It's rich. It's
mm-hmm.
a rich text.
Yeah,
there's
totally.
A lot there, and then there's a lot there that I will never understand as somebody who's not a gay man.
Mm-hmm.
but like, yeah, there's it's just, it, yeah. I'm really excited to read more about it. I only watched it last night, so I haven't gotten to like dive in really. But I'm really excited to, because it is clearly like, I got my own thing out of it, my own enjoyment out of it, because all stories have a little something for everybody, no matter who they're about specifically. There's always a little something, but like, I got what I got out of it. And then I'm excited to learn more about it. But all right. So it takes place at, a really nondescript time period. There's no cell phones. And cars look a little
living in the moment.
Yeah, cars and people's outfits look a little vintagey. So I want to like guess maybe 80s or like mid 90s, but kind of not entirely irrelevant.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it was like kind of important depending on.
Yeah, actually, I was about to be like kind of relevant, but actually, so and that's actually part of why this movie's interesting. Anyways, so it takes place in France. It's a French movie. The director is, hold on. The director is Alain, so sorry, Giraudy. I'm not sure if I pronounced that correctly, but Alain Giraudy. And it stars Pierre Deladonchamp as Frank, who is a young man who is spending his summer going to a local lake where gay men go to cruise. Specifically this one beach on this lake. And while he's there, he sets his eyes on Michelle, who's played by Christophe Pau, who is a very beautiful, like a real specimen, like a real good looking guy who, Frank immediately sets his eyes on Michelle and is hoping to spend some time with Michelle. He also meets a kind of older man named Henri, who's played by Patrick Dasumsa. I don't know.
Yes.
Henri.
The French.
who is an older man who sits off to the side, who's kind of a loner. But they kind of strike up a sweet friendship very quickly. It's non-sexual, but they, every day that Frank goes to the beach, he usually says what's up to Henry, because Henry's always there, and they clearly really enjoy each other's company. I don't want to get carried away. The plot. One day that Frank is there, he goes to sit with Michelle to try to make things happen. But then this other guy, who's clearly already with Michelle, rolls up and kind of scoops him away. And so Frank goes to talk to Henri. He's all bummed and says, "Oh, like the guys that I want are always unavailable." And Frank spends the rest of the afternoon at the beach. He hooks up with somebody in the woods. Everyone's like hooking up in the woods around the beach. And then dusk falls and he's still at the beach thinking he's alone, but then he hears some splashing in the water. And from the woods, he looks out at the lake and he sees two men in the water, and he sees one drown the other. I don't want to say too much more. I really want to stay vague about this one, because I know you are going to watch it. Otherwise, I would say a lot more. But yes, there is lots going on there, of course, about gay men, cruising communities, isolation. Mm-hmm. And STIs. There's like little touches of everything. It is also, it really had me for most of it. I have my feelings about the end, which I thought didn't ruin the movie, but the thrills kind of dipped away for a little while. But it's pretty fun.
I'm excited to watch
it. It's in Bong Joon-ho's top 10 best movies of the last 100 years. It is a very highly regarded movie. I learned today, like, it has a ton of awards. It's bunch of critics' best movie lists. It's a very, very, very well loved movie.
I'm really excited to watch it. It's one that I've meant to see for years.
Yeah.
This has been Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda.
It sure has. The time always goes by too fast.
It really does. It zips right by. We will see you in 2 weeks or so for our next show. head on over to wgxc.org/donate. Drop a couple pennies in the bucket.
Yeah, once again, that's wgxc.org/donate. Go on over, become a sustaining supporter, or make one big beefy donation this month.
It's been a pleasure and a privilege. Happy Pride.
Happy Pride.
Happy Pride, baby.